This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everybody, welcome back to the Eco Agenda podcast. I'm Hazel.
I'm Martin.
And I'm Jamina.
This episode we are unpacking the over-sexualisation and aggression towards women and how this is provoked by social media, porn and discourse from influential figures. Just a content warning, in this episode we will talk about sensitive topics such as assault, sexual abuse and types of porn. The objectification of a woman is the reduction of a woman to her body or body parts. This is stripping her of her human qualities and treating her as an object for sexual pleasure or consumption. This pervasive cultural practice manifests in the media, interpersonal interactions, and social structures, leading to consequences like self-objectification, negative emotions such as shame and anxiety, and increased vulnerability to sexual harassment and violence.
It's really sad to see that the only thing important about us is how we look and how our body is portrayed, and we are judged over and over and over again because of our body.
Yeah, it's sad being reduced to an object that people can speak freely of. It dehumanizes us, you know, and talking about us as things to be looked at and judged and consumed rather than respected as people.
It makes me feel so icky and gross to think, like, someone's going to see us and not even think anything else but just the way that we look and how that satisfies or dissatisfies them.
And also, I think about a lot the fact that it can happen and we don't even notice. You're going to notice some men that stare at you at the gym or some men that stare at you on public transport, but not all. That's honestly even grosser because I'd rather know about it than not know about it.
And people think that, like, catcalling no longer is a thing. It is such a huge thing. Like, I literally was catcalled the other day and I was getting out of my car and I was like, I'm just going to the supermarket. I've got my slippers on. And the fact that that's still a thing in 2025, I thought we moved on. Like, this should not be a thing anymore.
After I go get my milk from the supermarket, I'll hop back in your car. Yeah. Right? Like, what?
I actually find it so strange. Like, I had a friend who was like, this guy just pulled up. And just, like, started, like, being like, oh, hey, can I get your number, you know, like, we'll hop in. And it's like, no. She kept saying no, and she literally had to be like, I'm 16, which she isn't, obviously. She had to be like, I'm 16 for him to drive off. Like, isn't that insane? Like, do you think, like, constantly going off, even after they've said no, will get them to change their mind?
My friend told me this on the weekend, that this girl, she got followed from the uni to Old Farm Road.
Ooh.
And it was these guys in a car just, like, trailing behind her. And then she ended up calling my friend and was like, what do I do? And then so he came and, like, picked her up so she didn't, like, have to go into her flat and, you know, and then they'd know where she lived. And then they called the police and the police said, we can't do anything about it. Like, technically they didn't do anything wrong.
That's so scary. Like,
and then you go to the police and say, there's people harassing girls and following behind them in their car while these girls are walking. They say, we're sorry you had that experience, but we can't do anything about it. Like, what do you mean you can't do anything about it?
That's
like, we have
crazy.
The number plates. Like, what do you mean?
It's like almost like, are they waiting for something worse to happen? Like,
yeah.
Because it's going to happen if you don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like the same with how New Zealand treats mental health sometimes, is that they wait until it gets to the absolute unbearable situation.
Yeah. So we not only see this in our everyday lives, but we've also been seeing it in the media. Recently, former Labour MP Stuart Nash described woman as a pussy and a pair of tits. And then he even followed that up by saying, last time I said something like this, I got in trouble. So he knew what he was saying. His view was just so strong that he was just ready to run the risk for saying that. And after going home to discuss with his wife, he reached back out to the platform where he said this on and asked it to be taken out, but they declined. So yeah, it got released and made headlines about a couple days after he resigned. When you first take a look at that, it's like, wow, a win for women, like, he resigned. But then also, it isn't 100% a win for women, because at the end of the day, he still got to resign.
He had the choice to resign, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. He should have got fired first, you know, and it just shows that men can still hold the cards even when they spit the dummy. They can still have power, because obviously resigning looks a lot better than being fired from a job. And I don't think he should have been given that opportunity. I think he should have been fired straight away. He deserved to have that on his record.
And especially since this isn't the first time that he said out-pocket things. Like, as you said, last time I said something like this, I got in trouble. And they've given him a little slap on the wrist and went on with his day.
Well, and I think it's so interesting that he saw through that podcast and no one questioned him. It was not until he got home that his wife had to be the one to pull him up on that comment.
Why is that the first thing that you think of when you think of a woman? Do you not think of beautiful, strong, empowering? Like,
yeah.
No, you just think of our body.
It just kind of comes back to the idea that we're not really seen beyond the parts that
you can, you know,
yeah. He has women around him and he still felt the need to say it like that.
When he thought about women, he thought about them as objects and not the daughters he has at home or the wife he has. That is his whole entire support system and supposedly the loves of his life. Very strange.
It's just disappointing, actually.
Yeah.
But somebody that was involved in Parliament is out here talking about women like that when it's 50% of New Zealand's population that he's absolutely dissing right now.
Yeah. How do people like that get through? I feel like it's actually incorrect to say they slip through the gaps, because they don't. They just walk right in with their full opinion, and they are allowed to say it. If you don't see genders as equal, you should not be allowed to get away with it at this day and age to be spoken out loud. Stuart Nash, we are more than a pussy and a pair of tits. We see it in our everyday lives. We see it in the media with influential figures shaping how we talk about women. And you can even see it with women's sport. I would argue that women playing sport, that is the most least sexual thing a woman can do. But even then, with men over-sexualizing women, saying that they only watch the sport to look at women's bums.
I mean, when you look at, like, netball, for example, their skirts, they can't be longer than a certain length, and they're tight. And like the women's rugby, it's tight t-shirts, it's tight booty shorts. But the men's rugby team is normal fitting athletic t-shirts and pants. And this makes it easier. They say it so, oh, we can look at what their body movements are doing in case they do something wrong. No. Because if you're going to do that, you'd need to do it on the men too. If women have to wear tight clothes, men need to wear tight clothes. Because if you're looking for their muscles, you're not going to see it over some baggy t-shirt. You're going to see it on a tight top.
Yeah.
It's also evident in, like, gymnastics, ballet. Like, from me doing gymnastics, in gymnastics, if it's past your fingertips, it's considered too long and it's illegal and you get points off. It has to be kind of where your knuckle line is, or even shorter. Like, mine was literally tiny, as like an 8-year-old. The fact that in the code they have put that in place in gymnastics was probably created by a man in the first place.
Yeah. It just shows how entrenched it is, and we can argue and ask and beg to not be over sexualized, but it's already so deeply embedded, even to like what you were saying with the outfits that you wear and the clothing that you're put in. We're already wearing small clothes that show our bum and our boobs, and then men come and look at us because they can see our bum and our boobs. Like, the issue starts from the outfit.
If we really roll it back, it's the fact that these outfits are like, have become like socialized as an opportunity, quote unquote opportunity, for men to like ogle women. When it's like, it's sad, because then like, if you think about it, you think about a world where ideally we could wear what we want, like maybe you end up wearing something more revealing, but then it's like, to not feel exploited while wearing that.
Just because the women's soccer team are wearing tight tops and filled out shorts, yes, there is an issue. The fact that everything is so small and tight does not give you a pass to over-sexualize them. You actually see that at the gym as well. I have never experienced it personally, but I know many stories of girls who have had men come up to them and told them to put more on. And it's just like, it's really hot when you're exercising. We shouldn't have to put a hoodie and track pants on in the middle of summer just because you can't turn the other way. You should actually just learn to control yourself.
Yeah, like it's taking away the practicality of being able to wear what we need for sport, for movement. And it's like, you know, men also have that, right? Like they also have like their more revealing clothes that they need to wear for practicality. But when it's us, then it's suddenly like a problem.
Yeah. I feel like there's a time and place where we can be sexual, but at the gym, on the field, during any sports, that's not the time, and you should respect us enough to read the room.
And let's talk about the clothes that we wear and like how it's automatically sexualized even when we're doing sport or going to the gym. This also kind of leads into the conversation about certain types of clothing, usually the more revealing types of clothing, has been associated with women almost apparently asking for it. And this leads to such serious victim blaming, and I think that's important to acknowledge that that's not true. Like, it had me thinking because I love dressing up when I'm going out, but I go on public transport. So, like, you know, like, sometimes, I think once I wore, like, a shirt that, like, oh, my boobs look great in them. But then I was, like, the whole time when I was on the bus, I was just, like, hiding. Like, I was hiding in my jacket because I was, like, I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to attract any unwanted attention. And it's like that constant feeling of like, if I'm wearing something too revealing, people are going to think I'm asking for it. I'm going to get like unwanted attention, and then people are going to think I deserve it, even though I know that I don't. Like, we don't. We never do.
I feel like people really need to wake up and hear that women 99.9999999% of the time wear things to feel confident and empowered and to feel good about themselves. You know, in a world that profits off our insecurities, we should be saying wear what makes you feel good, because that's so important. You know, in a society that's constantly putting us down for not looking a certain way,
our bodies are art. God forbid we want to wear an outfit that shows them off.
And also, we can't take our body parts away, whether the clothes reveal it or not. And it is your mind that is over-sexualizing us. It is not ourselves.
And that's why my parents wouldn't really let me leave the house. And I mean, it's gotten better now, obviously. I'm an adult now. But both my parents and I have always preferred me kind of being in this little safety bubble, just staying in my room at night, not really going out much. And it's not because they didn't trust me, but they didn't trust the world. It's nothing to do with me and everything to do with them. Like this world that just sees a girl or a woman and decides, aha, I'm going to violate you and it's your fault. Mm. Honestly, I feel scared even when I'm wearing like completely covered clothes. Like it's scary. Anything can happen. Like
I stopped going to town probably after first year because I just got this overwhelming feeling of anxiousness.
There's a lot of guys in town that are significantly older and their whole purpose to be there is to look at what the girls are wearing. And when I go to town, I want to wear what I want to wear, whatever I feel comfortable in, whether that night it's a mini skirt and a cute little tube top, or whether it's jeans and a hoodie.
I feel like so many boys hold this assumption that when women go to town, it's often assumed that it's because they're seeking attention or they want someone to take them home, rather than they want to go out with their friends and have fun and dance and get drunk and have a laugh. And it's just like, we do not go places for your objectification. That's not the case. That's not an all-woman moment.
I feel like it never really was like that, because I remember when I went to town in first year, as soon as I turned 18, my boyfriend at the moment, I started dating him when I was first year. So I was in a happy relationship, and I still went to town with my girlfriends, and I was having the best time of my life. But the amount of people that were staring at me, since when all of a sudden did town turn into a real-life Tinder?
Yeah.
Why is it the only thing that you're looking for? You're looking for girls and you're like, swipe left, swipe left, swipe right. Yeah, let me try her. No, oh, she don't like me. Oh, well, next one.
Yeah.
Gross.
I feel like we're seen as prey there. Like, once again, it feels like this male space that as soon as we walk into that room, we are just sitting ducks and they're just leeching on us. I had the same experience. I had a boyfriend throughout the whole first year of halls. And I would have men, like, screaming at my face saying, cheat on him! It just shows that they just cannot comprehend that I might be here for myself and for my girls.
Yeah.
Because we think about all of these risks and all of these assumptions that people make about us, I feel like I constantly have to, like, think about a safety plan to get out of situations if I ever get into them. Do you guys, like, feel the same way?
Yeah, I think society has created a world where we're no longer safe anymore. We don't have control as soon as we walk out of our homes. I often feel like the moment I step out of my house, I'm in fight or flight. And then that means we're constantly waiting to be disrespected and we live in that fight or flight.
Basically, because we're women, as soon as we step out, sometimes even our own homes, you know, have this constant, like, air of caution around us. Even though we acknowledge that, like, men get harmed in these kind of situations as well, and that's, like, we need to talk about that more, too, but that's a separate thing. But
that's a whole other topic.
That's a whole
that's a different podcast.
Yeah. Maybe that's next season, I don't know. This is a very woman-specific experience. This built-in caution that we have as soon as we step out because we could get jumped any time and somehow society is still going to find a way to blame us for it.
Yeah, we've been socialized to protect ourselves growing up, but why don't we look towards the boys who need to learn how to not be violent? Shouldn't we be focusing on educating non-harmful and respective behavior so we don't have to spend our whole lives protecting ourselves from something that might not even happen?
Because it shouldn't be inevitable for men to be like this.
Yeah, and that's why women live in angst, and that's why sometimes we can get snippy or we can get sick of disrespectful comments, and it makes us so frustrated because in our heads we're reciting over potential experiences and, oh, what is this guy going to do and what is this guy staring at and is he going to come up and say something? Like last week I talked about in the gym, I was waiting for this guy to come around, get to me and correct my form. I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So then when it does happen, boom, I've got a response. I'm ready, you know? But then on the flip side, sometimes it comes out of nowhere. And then, you know, what we saw in the media the other week about that guy that stabbed this girl to death on a bus. Like, it's just so normalized now, just random outbursts of harm and punishment towards women for just simply existing.
I feel like we are so desensitized to this graphic content all the time. Like, that video of that stabbing, literally you saw the whole video up until the moment, and then it cuts off for a little bit when the incident actually happens. And then you see the aftermaths of where she falls onto the floor. Like, oh, why is this? Like, that's traumatizing to see. And I feel horrible for women in that scenario. I feel horrible for her family. Why are we being shown this stuff?
And this is being shown by TV1 or TV2 or TV3 or whatever. This isn't in the depths of the dark web that we're seeing this graphic stuff. It is everywhere now. I don't believe that we saw the extent of the graphic content on TV like we're seeing now 5 years ago. Like, we're just becoming more desensitized, bringing in the Charlie Kirk shooting. I was unfortunate enough that whole video, no blur out, no cuts, came up on my For You page. I saw him getting shot in the neck. And I was like, is that not TikTok's one job when a big event like that happens, that their whole team is just monitoring posted videos about that? Because no one deserves to see that. I acknowledge that these events happen and they're gruesome and we do need to bring attention to them and grieve them, but we do not need to see the actual event. As humans, we should not be aware of the whole play-by-play.
We see these things because sometimes they want to make a point out of it, right? To be like, this is what's happening. But then when it happens to women, I feel like we're kind of, even in death or like in a critical condition, by making these public, it's like subjecting these women to these sick fantasies.
Well, I mean, this just leads to the concept of porn and how porn itself is dehumanizing women. It is creating an unrealistic idea of what sex actually is
and just how to treat a woman.
Pornography often portrays women as an object of male gratification. This reinforces that harmful stereotypes in contributing to the culture of objectification. The porn industry is also linked to the darker realities of trafficking and exploitation.
You know, we live in a world where pornography is everywhere. I think a trillion years ago, porn was porn, but now it's in our ads, in our music videos, in our social media feeds. We're being objectified everywhere and anywhere. And without even talking about how disturbing it is that people get off watching literal abuse of women, I respect what people enjoy, but I think, and I'm not telling anyone off for enjoying those things, and I'm not saying that you should be shamed, but I think we just need to critically examine why you enjoy being submissive, being degraded, being hurt in bed. And I think it reinforces harmful stereotypes that women are meant to endure pain or that their boundaries are less important. And I think a lot of men can't pull the curtain down between real life and porn. So women are getting raped on the streets and they're supposed to like it. Women are getting catcalled at Pack and Save before they walk into the supermarket and they're expect to like it. If you're going to watch that, you need to be able to establish online and fantasy from real world and real women who deserve to be respected.
I think that the people who are having sex need to, like, to each other, establish that dynamic, but also men need to understand that what they see in porn and what they maybe experience with one woman is not going to work for everyone else. Again, it's like, why do you guys keep generalizing us? Mm. Why do you keep thinking that it's like a one-trick pony kind of thing?
At the end of the day, and honestly what every podcast episode that we make wraps up to, is that we just want to be respected and seen as individual humans. I personally don't agree with porn, and I personally don't like the idea that it contributes and reinforces negative stereotypes around women and suffering and belittling and being less than a man. I don't like porn for the fact that it promotes that. But I respect that it's a thing and it's there for a long time. So I really just want to enforce, because it's there and I know that it's going to be there, you need to separate that from the woman in your lives. Stuart Nash, he spoke about a woman as an object before thinking about his beautiful wife and daughters. And I think it's such a big show how some men cannot just separate sexual desires and sexual needs from basic respect and seeing us for more than just our body parts be of use to by a man.
This is an episode that covered some pretty heavy topics, but they are important to bring awareness to and to understand how they affect our equality as women and the fight that we still have to keep going through.
These are one of the things that I'm most passionate about if we're talking about it as a problem to be solved. I don't want to raise a little girl in a world where she could be a victim, and I don't want her to live in fear.
I hope that was a thought-provoking episode, and go get some water. I hope you guys are doing okay after all that.
Thank you so much for listening.
See ya.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.